Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the August 11th edition of Your Place. Wild Bill is fired up and ready to get the show started tonight, but I do want to take just a moment to thank you for being here. The show is named Your Place because Wild Bill's vision is for this to be a place where each and every one of you can be heard, your voices can be heard. So welcome, and thank you to those who are listening live online. If you decide that you do want to join the discussion, you can call in at 718-664-6129. We've got a couple people already listening on the phone line. If you decide you want to join in, just press 1 and I'll see a little hand raise up and know that you're ready to come on air. Tonight's topic is politics and the role religion plays in politics. While Bill's been driving cross-country listening to a lot of other talk shows, and he's kind of fired up about some of the things he's been hearing. So I'm sure this will be an emotional show, but if we all just remember to be respectful and listen to each other, we may learn something that helps us all come together, because ultimately we all want this to be a strong country. We want this country to be blessed. We just have different philosophies and viewpoints about what it means to get there. But if we can try not to attack each other, maybe something can be said that'll bring us closer together. At the end of the show, I'd like to read a prayer that I think everyone, no matter how polarized our opinions are, everyone who believes in prayer at any rate, will be able to pray with their whole heart, and we can all agree on the words that are in that prayer. But right now, I'm going to bring Wild Bill on and let him get the show started.
Sound like you done got us started. Yeah, I don't really, I mean, I understand what you're saying about everyone being respectful, but this is going to be one of those shows this week and next week is going to be pretty emotional. And but I do want to start off the show with saying congratulations to my son Matt and his wonderful wife. They had a baby boy today, and I'm awful with numbers, but I think he was 8 pounds, 7 ounces, and 21 inches long. And when you get to looking at things that are important, family's right up there at the top of things that you always want to acknowledge and, you know, pay the proper, or at least acknowledge the proper things, you know, in the right sequence of order. But the Joy kind of hit it off here a little bit, and I'm up here in the mountains of Pennsylvania, so if I'm kind of, my voice comes in and out, I apologize. I think you want to talk about all these conspiracy theories. I think there's a conspiracy against Blog Talk Radio, and they're trying to keep me doing the hardest work whenever it's time for the radio show. So that's my conspiracy theory of the today. But what got this all started was I was gone from home for an extremely long time, and I was kind of feeling sorry for myself, and I was missing church. And so I went, and this was not talk radio. I was going to gospel radio stations, AM and FM, trying to find just some good old preaching and maybe some old-fashioned singing, you know, just kind of pat my foot a little bit and just, you know, there's nothing like, you know, hearing God's people, anointed sermons and anointed singing to kind of bring you out and seem to be going against you. And what I got instead was, it's hard to put it into words. It was the strangest things I'd ever ran across. But, I mean, I got to hearing phrases I never had heard before. They were talking about people were calling their show that they were talking about being birthers. And I'm like, what the heck is a birther? And I was like, well, it's probably something real cute to come up with being a born-again Christian or something like that. And then to my horror, I found out that this has to do with this huge thing that's going on right now about the people that don't believe that our current president of the United States is an American citizen. And then I thought, man, that's, you know, kind of strange to be coming from religious organization. But then it went from that to all of a sudden I was hearing people tear down the Bill Clinton going to Korea and bringing the press people back that had been released, that had been held, that had actually been charged and found to be criminals. They were going to have to do, I think, 12 years of hard labor. And, you know, so they were talking about, well, that really don't mean nothing. They staged the whole thing, and don't be fooled. You know, there's more to this than what you know, and da-da-da-da-da. And, again, this was religious radio. And so, and then the one that finally did it for me was when I was hearing the people that were saying that there's emails going out from the White House saying if you're getting fishy emails regarding the new plans they're trying to put out for reforming the healthcare system and everything, that to please forward the email back to the White House, and they gave an email address, and so they can, you know, let you know what's fact and what's fiction. Well, instead of it being presented that way on these gospel stations, they were trying to tie it in to when the Jews were being turned in to other people, like, hey, there's some Jews over there, let's go arrest them, and everything going back to Germany, you know, during the time of the Holocaust. And what they were saying is that this administration is trying to get you to turn in your brother and your sister and your neighbor so they can go out there and do something about these people putting out fishy information. And fuck saying, going, well, I just about exploded out here by looking for something to kind of lift me up and everything, hit a whole nother gear. And really what I want the topic to, you know, I do want to discuss is that you
I think that you've hit a spot where we can't hear you very good. We do have a caller that already wants to speak, so I will bring you on. Area code 915, your hand is raised. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Willard. You were talking
hey, Willard.
To me, right?
Yeah,
yes. We talked last week, remember?
Yes, sir.
I just got into a signal area. My apologies for being a little late here.
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad that you're getting a signal since we're having trouble with Wild Bill's signal.
Yeah. Bill was talking about the health care reform, right?
Right then he was talking about, you know, people are calling it a conspiracy that, you know, the emails that are going around that are kind of stirring up fear and
I'm here.
Okay, we've got you. Wild Bill's here too. So Willard and Wild Bill, I can go back to the chat room.
Yeah, okay, really what I wanted the topic to be about tonight was, how do you feel about churches and religious organizations? I do want us to talk about these issues, but how do you feel about churches and these religious organizations and using their radio time to put out their thoughts about these topics? What do you feel about that? Do you think it's right?
Put out their thoughts about what, Bill?
About the things you're saying about the president not being born here and about the new medical reforms that they're talking about putting in for insurance and all the things that's going to the conspiracy thing that they're putting out the other day, that the email that Washington put out was trying to get people to turn in their neighbor and their brother for anyone that stands against the Obama administration. And, you know, I was hearing all this on religious radio stations, and I know at a lot of churches, this is getting to be the main topic among the people actually in the church. And, you know, before service, after service, you know, sometimes during the service, the Sunday school teacher will refer to this and different things. And what do you think about that?
Well, I agree with the Bible. Just stay out of the ways of the world. And like Paul told Timothy, any man that warreth does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world. You know, 176,000 people died today. Half of them never heard the name Jesus Christ, and churches don't seem to get too involved with that. What's going on in Washington is just not on my radar screen. And, you know, we're going to have health care reform. It's going to be here whether anybody likes it or not. Hillary tried it in 92. The Democrats went out of office in droves in 94 at the off-year elections, midterm elections, But I think he'll push it through this time. Am I in favor of it? No, but it's not on my radar screen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, you're involved in ministry. You work with, you know, these children and things and trying to help them. So that's pretty much your focus, is what you feel like your ministry is, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. But
and so
I mean, yeah.
When you're doing your ministry, you don't, unless someone else brings it up, from what you're saying, you don't bring politics into it at all, what's going on in the current politics?
Never. It's just not on my radar screen.
Yeah. Well, see, that's one of the things that bothered me was that I was scanning radio stations, and I'm saying, I went AM and FM, and these were gospel radio stations. Some of them were preachers. And I can understand, I have no problem if someone wants to go in and use an illustration for something that they feel has to do with something with the signs of the times, you know, if they want to go along and saying, you know, we're getting close to the end of time or something like that, and they got something, they won't make an illustration. But I guess the part that bothers me the most is that this is, our message is supposed to be different. It's not supposed to be the same. And what I actually did, I don't know if you went to the blog talk and I did it on the Facebook thing, but I actually issued a challenge for people to call. If their preacher had a radio show and they were talking about these items on their show, and if they were, call their local, you know, gospel DJs that were making these comments, and I challenged them to get one of them to come on the air to explain to us why they felt that this is what we needed to hear on gospel radio. And I really don't think we're going to have any of those people on, although I did get a phone call from a pastor today that told me that he wanted to come in and talk about what we were talking about tonight, but tonight is his night for marriage counseling. And as we can all agree, that's something that needs to be done a whole lot more than, you know, discussing this right here. And but while I got you on the air here, tell me why you disagree with the proposals and what you think the proposals are with the new plan that they're trying to put out.
Well, if it works so good, and I spent a lot of my life in socialist countries, nationwide health care just doesn't work. It's not working in Canada. The facts are there. That's why people that can afford it come to America to get their health care. You know, you may think this is far-fetched, but all these retirement programs the government has, all this Social Security, all this health care, is just another element leading up to something called the Mark of the Beast. Now, you can believe that bill or not, but that's what it's all about, because they have to have a population dependent upon the government. And once they, the more they become dependent on it, the easier it will be to put that mark on them when the time comes, whenever it is. You can't have an independent thinking nation like our grandfathers were and bring that to out in the open. It's got to be people just led by the government. But I want to say something else about this health care crisis. There is no crisis. These are the facts. If what's printed in the medical journals is true, each and every dollar spent by insurance companies in this country on health care, 72 cents is spent on a tobacco-related disease. 14 cents is spent on alcohol and drug abuse. And the there's just not enough left of real sickness to create a national health care crisis. It's always the lack of a human being to make good decisions, and that's why we have this so-called health care crisis. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with some of the numbers you have there, but I want to disagree a little bit. Have you heard of C. Everett Koop?
Yes, he was attorney,
Surgeon General
under Reagan.
Right. He's probably one of the best known and was probably, a lot of people think, the best educated we ever had. And he said that this country is in health care crisis back during the time of Reagan, because he said that, like you say, the people, the health, the good insurance and everything, there's not a problem for them. But he said that there's a whole class of people in this country, some of it due to ignorance, just like what you said, and some of it had to do with the fact of the way the system is set up, that they're falling through the cracks of the system. And so he was a huge supporter of health care reform back during the time when Hillary Clinton was trying to get it passed before, and it didn't pass. I do agree with you on the socialized system like what they have in Canada. There's a lot of problems there. I used to go to Quebec quite a bit, and so I was able to listen to their news. And it was really interesting to me how they were talking about that their doctors all came to this country because they could make more money practicing medicine here, but they had a huge influx of their doctors coming back, because the insurance companies were dictating what care they could give the patient. There would be a medicine that might work perfect for someone with whatever was wrong with them, but the insurance company made them give them something else, and it may even have horrible side effects for the people. And so that's the part of it that I feel needs to be reformed there. And also for those people, I mean, if we're supposed to be the best of the best as far as nations go, as you know, even though right now our economy is not the best, but like you say, a lot of this stuff has to do with what, you know, the alcohol and tobacco and things that, it seems like if we just made those things illegal and did away with them, it could stop a lot of our medical crisis, as you pointed out. But, and I want to throw this back at you, do you not believe there needs to be some reform in our system at all? Because the president was on, he did a town hall meeting today, and he said that is rumor that that's not what he wants. He does not want socialized medicine. He wants to have it so that everybody has health care, and that's what his plan is. And if you already have insurance, you're happy with it, fine. Stay with that. But for those that don't, we're trying to come up with something for them. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. I'll take the other side of the podium. If the military has free medical and government employees have it, every governor, state legislature, mayor, city council, chief of police, police force, and even the prisoners in this country have free medical care, why shouldn't the rest of us have it?
Well, for one thing, I mean, these people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their degrees to go in. And one of the things that we do know is fact, we pay more for prescriptions than everything in this country due to the fact that we're paying for the new drugs, the tests, and everything that's going into effect. We have the best doctors, the best hospitals, the best trained medical personnel in the world. You know, there's no doubt about it. And so somebody, and unfortunately it has to be us, that foots the bill for that. So to make it free, fantastic, I just don't see how that's going to work.
Well, again, I'm playing devil's advocate here, but if we have the best care in the world, why did the governor of California go to France to have his heart valve replaced? And I now want to get back on, I want to play one more. All these doctors and nurses, including my wife, she's in nursing school right now, are supported by taxpayers in that university. Why should they make all that money just for doing what we trained them to do? But in the end, I'll quit playing devil's advocate and say this. I want everybody to get their hand out of my pocket. If I want insurance, I'll pay for it. And if I don't, I have the right to die. If I can't afford the emergency room at night when I have a stroke or appendicitis or a kidney stone, then just wheel me outside. I did it to myself. But just to the rest of the world, get your hand out of my pocket. And if they say this is going to cost each and every person in this country about $300 per month, and I just don't have that kind of money to give up. Go ahead.
Well, when you say they say that, I mean, now this is something I found interesting because I was hearing so much. I had went back to the campaign website to see what it was that Barack Obama was trying to put out for the American people for this new health care reform. And it's pretty straightforward what he wanted to do in there, but then I was totally shocked to find out that what he did was he told the Senate and the Congress, he said, listen, before the end of the year, I want health care reform done. You know what I'd like for it to be? I'm not going to set up any stipulations on this. The both parties get together, and y'all map out a plan to reform this. And so right now there's actually three different plans that are floating through that they're looking at, and this is what's really confusing about it. Each one of these documents is over 1,000 pages long. And so it's not, you know, everybody's talking about trying to do something by the end of the week. I don't know how they're proposing to do that. But there is no wrote-in-stone set plan. In the original thing that Obama had, it was going to be for companies, and I don't think I should probably could guess who I'm talking about. There's a huge conglomerate, goes into small towns, they put mom and pop businesses out of business because they have a little bit of everything at cheaper prices, and they work 90% of their people part-time labor with no benefit. And so part of the plan is for companies like that they're going to have to pay a penalty for those people that don't have insurance to become part of the government plan. Now, that was the original setup during the campaign. What's going to happen and what we are going to get, I don't think none of us really know for sure. I mean, I've been listening all day to talk shows from all both sides, and they were saying the same thing. They were saying that we don't know. We don't know what's going to come out. But they did mention today something that was very interesting, that they went to, and I can't remember what the name of the board is, you have to forgive me, but to the administrators, there's a board of administrators for hospitals from the top hospitals across the country, and they actually sat down today with the Congress and was looking through some of this, and they had a list of things that they thought needed to be changed that was being brought up on this. So, you know, as to what the reform is going to be, I'll hear all the rumors and everything like everybody else, you know, what it's going to be. But we really don't know for sure. So some of this is going to have to be speculation based on what the president said when he was running for office. But he made it very clear that he wasn't trying to do or copy Canada and make it socialized medicine where everybody just had, you know, free medical coverage. So,
well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think laying it out on the table and looking at it, there are three goals that the president has, two short-term and one long-term. Number one, the United Nations is already, and I heard this on the radio, during his administration, they want to increase abortions in this country from 4,000 a day to 8,000 a day. Right now, we're killing one every 20 seconds. They want to lower that to every 10 seconds. With a national health care plan, they can force your family practitioner to do an abortion or lose his license. The second thing is they want it pushed through by the end of the year, so it'll have almost a year to be in place before the midterm elections come up. And then every time a Republican wants to run, they'll say, oh, he's going to mess with your health care. He's going to mess with your health care. And that will assure him a continued Democratic majority in Congress. The other long-term plan, which will probably go, you know, somewhere 12, 16 years down the road, he wants to turn nursing homes into nothing but an abortion clinic on the other end. These people have lived their life, they run their course, let them die.
Where on earth are you getting this information?
It just makes sense. When you look at it, Obama is a United
Nations. It
doesn't
make sense to me at all. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it makes sense the way he looks at it. And he is a United Nations man all the way through. And they believe by getting rid of people, both born and unborn, they are saving the planet. That it takes so many gallons of water, so much wood, so much housing, so much of all these things that the planet, they say, just can't afford anymore.
Where do they say that? Where are you getting this information from? This is what I was talking about, Wild Bill, where I get frustrated because you end up discussing a false premise. If you start with just something just gets said and it's fact, and I don't for one second believe that Obama is supporting any of what you just said, Willard, not to be disrespectful to you, but from my perspective of everything that I've heard him say or anything that I've read of his position on things, that doesn't compute at all. So if you just put that out there as fact and then we discuss that, we're having an argument about a false premise. Because we're starting with something that's just not true.
Well, I think what he's doing there, and I want to speak for him a little bit, is that everyone has in their mind's eye what it means you're supporting the Democratic Party in regards to abortion or health or gay marriage or, you know, the things about, the like you said, the cost to the people for all these things for the elderly and everything. And then they have in their mind's eye this image of what they think it is that the Republicans propose and what they stand for based on some of the things that they say. And so from this, we're getting some very far-fetched things coming out there. And what they're trying to say is, and I understand they're saying they're connecting the dots and going through. And I do agree that I believe that all this stuff is heading up towards end time. And so there is going to be some progression for people of faith who believe that, based on that. But the, like Joy said, some of these premises are coming up with on this. It's just, well, Obama tried to address some of those today. And they've been trying to do it with some of the, they sent some people out to their home state, trying to do town hall meetings, and that's turned into a disaster. I hope they just stop it all together for the way that whole thing's working out. And, you know, just go back to either the internet or go back to television and radio and put the information out, because there is so much information like this, what you just said, going out, that there is no real firm basis as to what it's built on. And I do want us to get back more into that tomorrow night. And I don't want to cut you off, but I do want to see if we got anybody else that had any thoughts, because I have several people that had responded to the blog site and to the Facebook page in regard to the thought about the religious people being the ones to push it out. And some people thought that it was the church's responsibility to do that. And so I'm hoping that some of them called in. Was there anyone that called in on Joy?
Nancy was planning on calling in, but she got migraine just before the show, so she's not going to be able to, but she's looking forward to listening to it and joining us next week. We have a couple of callers. We have Blog Talk Mama, and we have someone else from Mississippi. If either of you have something to say, now's the time to press 1 on your phone, and I'll bring you on air. Nobody's pressing 1, Wild Bill.
The reason I issued the challenge is
because
someone
did.
Uh-oh, well, let them come in.
All right. All right, Josie, you're on the air.
Hey there. I was interested in what they were saying because I'm not, you know, as y'all know, very much of a political speaker. You know, I don't really know how. I just get really nervous when people make statements because if they're so opposite, you know, I mean, you have one group and they just are so convinced and have all this evidence for one thing, and then another group is just as convinced and has just as much evidence for their side of it, then it gives me heartburn.
I understand what you're saying. That's like Nancy says that I drank the Kool-Aid, and I do kind of admit that I have drank the Kool-Aid. I'm very much an Obama supporter, and I do believe in him. But she's really annoyed that I'm not drinking the same Kool-Aid she drank. She drank some Kool-Aid, too. She's believing all the rhetoric and the things that she's believing. So I drank the cherry Kool-Aid, but she sure drank the grape.
Right. I really hear what everyone's saying, and I think it's wonderful for us to speak up. I think that's a great thing in America to be able to have the freedom to tell what we believe and how we interpret things. I think it's sad to think of all the money that's spent and all the energy, the negative energy that's put in to a situation that seems to just get more and more negative. You know, it doesn't. And the Lord did give us, there's a few scriptures that I would like to, one at least, in Jeremiah 29:7, it says, "And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." And while Bill and I were talking about the little story about the men on the boat out in the middle of the ocean, and one said, "I think I'll shoot a hole in the bottom of this boat," and the other one said, "I don't care, go ahead, it's not my boat." But, you know, they're both going to sink. They're both going to probably drown. And so we have a wonderful country. We have men that are dying for us to have freedom. And, you know, I wish we could sound more mature and not so radical sometimes. Not so fear-filled, because fear causes people to hurt each other, not love each other.
Well, you were a church pastor at one time, and you had a radio program. You did the shortwave, the worldwide gospel, and what was it, the shortwave ministry.
Right.
And just looking back now, if you were doing your program, would you, other than, like I say, if you was using an illustration for End Time or something, would you delve into all these innuendos and things that's going on to be part of your church? I mean, I'm going into churches and I hear other people saying the thing. This is the discussion before church. This is the discussion during church. It's brought up during Sunday school. It's brought up during sermon. It's on all these radio shows, and they're saying all this stuff about, and what I feel like it is, I don't think nobody knows 100% what the truth is. I'll be the first to admit that, because you can go to 100 blogs sites and get 100 different stories. But the thing is, when it gets right down to it, do you feel as a minister that that's something that you need to expound upon to your people, to your congregation, to the people you're responsible to make sure that their soul is prepared to make heaven?
Well, the last words that someone says before they die are usually pretty important. And the last words that Jesus spoke were for us to go into all the world and teach them. Not about politics. And I'm still, you know, I think we should be involved. I don't mean that. But as a minister, I'm called, and I feel like we're all called to offer hope. Like the two men, say they shot the hole in the boat and they're sinking. If I came by in a helicopter and started debating over which one shot the hole in the boat while I watched them drown, you know, that'd be a little bit bizarre. I mean, there's people... There's just so many problems and so many hurting people, and I just wish that ministers at least would be the hope, you know, speak the hope. There's a scripture in 1 Timothy 2:2. It says, "Pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so if we pray for these things, oh, can I share a little testimony real quickly? I've told y'all that I just could not escape the pull to have services in this trailer park here in town. And for months, I've cried about it, wrestled with it spiritually, and tried to do it out of my trunk and lay out a blanket and the kids come around. And so I just thought, well, today I went to the people that run the park, the trailer park, and they were all there. And I said, I have all these obstacles, so I'm just going to, if you don't care, I'm going to work out of my trunk. I'm going to put my PowerPoint and everything, just set it up, open the trunk, and have a really large trunk and have my handouts. And he said, have you got a minute? And I said, yeah. And he took me over to this trailer that was completely clean. It was all fixed up. And he said, you know, I fixed this for my brother, and he decided he didn't want to live here. He was going to live somewhere else. So you can have this trailer, and we'll get together, and you don't have to do anything but just be here and bring your stuff, and we'll get together and collect enough money to pay your electric bill. We've already got it turned on. The water's turned on. And I just think that's awesome that God
did. Yeah.
I could just shout.
That goes with what I said before. God never calls anyone to do something that he doesn't make a way for it to happen.
That's true.
We were talking about something earlier, too. You know, there's a lot of good gospel books and gospel videos and things and, you know, a lot of information on things with the Bible. We were talking about, though, to get the real power, some, you know, what you need, you have to go back to the original source. You have to go back to the Bible. And it's the same thing with what we're talking about right here. You have to mind whether we are a peculiar people separate from this world and our message is not the same, or our message is the same. We're not separated. It don't matter how much we say we are, because like you say, and it has a lot to do with our economy, because we've turned into a people who are very selfish. Everything is all about how it concerns me. You know, I hear, you know, with me personally, I hear people bad-mouthing, talking about the car manufacturers. It's all the union's fault that, you know, all this happened. Well, the people that say that never worked for a union, so they don't have a clue what they're talking about. They just know what they've heard. They know a few stories they've heard of where they saw somebody who wasn't putting out a full day's work and getting paid a day's wages for what he was doing. But they don't know the whole story as to how the whole thing worked. And I think this is the same thing. But what it reminds me of, churches are nonprofit organizations where they get to their state, which some states, I think Mississippi's done away with that, but the federal government recognizes them as a nonprofit organization. What I wonder is, if all of a sudden they start doing an investigation and all these church groups that are going out there and all of a sudden becoming lobby for one political party over another, what happens then if they all of a sudden pull their nonprofit status and say, you're a political lobby instead of being a church? Because this is what you're putting out on your radio shows, you know, in your services, in your Sunday school class. Your message is not anything to do with Jesus. It's all about what's going on with government and politics.
You're right
to me, we're sitting up there, what was it, you know, we're looking at the, what does the scripture say about the moat in someone's eye, and we have a beam in our own?
Right.
And I think that's what the religious world is doing, but what they're not realizing is that there's a whole, the world has now classified all Christians as evangelicals. That's what they call it. And when they're keeping up with all this stuff that the evangelical leaders are saying on their radio shows and things, and this has become sound bites for jokes now. This is what they're coming up with. You know, you say there's a God, you believe in God. Well, this is what his people are saying. And they're playing on the fact that the churches are believing things that are not true and repeating this fact. And so, you know, it's like we talked about before, you know, you want to go to the source to get what's right and what's true for it to be power in what you say, and whether it's religious or whether it's in business or whether it's in your personal life. you always have to deal with the reality of what is and what is not. And I'm afraid that, well, this is the best illustration I can come up with. When you raise a puppy in your house breaking it, you take that puppy and you put him in a little pen. And the reason is because if there's any way possible, that puppy's not going to mess in his own house. And to me, for the church, that is supposed to have the good news, that is supposed to say there is hope no matter what's going on in this world, that there's a God in heaven who sets kings on thrones. He sets presidents up to be presidents. And he says, it's all for my plan. I am sovereign. I am the almighty God. And this is all in my hand for the work that I have set forth. And yet you can pray for these leaders, and I can bless. You know, we have the power of the blessing that the church can use. But instead, it's kind of like Joy was reminding me, you know, when we look at the 10 virgins, there was 5 wise and 5 foolish, but they all slept. You know, sometimes we want to tell that story where the 5 foolish slept, but no, they all slept. But the ones that prepared before they slept were the ones that when the invitation came were able to go to the wedding supper, the marriage supper. And so I just, you know, you talk about doubtful disputation when we're supposed to be having the message of God and we're given the message of the world. And we so much want to call one church the Mother Harlot Church because of the power that she wielded and she put forth and trying to control things with government and tried to control things with everything that was going on in people's lives to where they had their thumb in all of it. And if the evangelical people, as they want to call us now, look like we're doing it, how can we separate ourselves? No matter what we say, you know, because the Bible says there's going to be many that stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, I knew you. I did all these things in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me because I knew you not, you workers of iniquity. So in my mind, I do agree there's a place to talk about it. I do think that everyone has a constitutional right to become aware of what is going on in our country. I do believe that you should vote your conscience, and I believe that you can share that with family members and things and other situations. And like this radio show, there's all kinds of talk radio shows people can call into and voice their opinion and find people of like, you know, belief. But when you go up here and you try to put the word Christian with it, and I put this on the blog talk thing, to go up there and say that just because you wrote your name in a book at a church and you go to church and you're living halfway right, and then you sit up there and you do this, it's not going to make you a Christian any more than going up there and shaking a mule's tail, writing your name on a barn door and going into a barn is going to make you a mule. It's just the whole process, just like our other callers. You know, there's so many serious needs, like what you're doing, this thing with these youth. And you were sharing with me about this 11-year-old you were working with that had been molested and things. Those are the calling of God's people. That's what we're called to do. There's a harvest that's ripe, that's past time for the harvest to be brought in. That's what we need to put our hands to do. And instead, it doesn't seem to me, and we've talked about this before, you want to get a good argument going. You go in and you bring up the other side to the conversation, and man, all of a sudden, you can almost see their horns come up.
That's a good opening for me with this prayer that I have that I hope that you don't mind me reading. It's very short. It's 148 words. And I think that it would be comforting to people who feel really strongly in the negative towards Obama. It's a prayer that they could pray and feel really good about. It's actually one of the prayers that was from the inaugural luncheon. But it's very, very straightforward.
I want to challenge anybody listening to this. Next week, we're going to go with the topic of the issues. We're not going to talk about the church that they talk about it. We're going to go in here and we're going to discuss these issues they're talking about, the things that were brought up with the previous caller and everything. We're going to let you say what you think, that one side is right and one side is wrong, and we want to hear what you say, and we'll discuss that. So, yeah, Joy, I think that would be a good note to leave it on to share that prayer with us.
Because, as you said, what Christians are called to do, one of the things is to pray for their leaders, and I think this is a powerful prayer. Okay. Lord of all nations, whose kingdom is above all earthly kingdoms, and who judges all lesser sovereignties, look with favor upon President Barack Obama, Vice President Joseph Biden, and members of the cabinet. This is the line I love. Empower them with the wisdom, courage, and strength needed for our times, and listen to this, and protect them from any moral arrogance that obstructs the making of a world of justice, peace, and righteousness. Infuse them with a passion to act in ways pleasing to you, Lord. Preserve their families in health and strength by your mercy and power, and may they find your grace sufficient for every need. We also ask that you shower your blessings upon the American people. Give us the wisdom to support our new president with our prayers, patience, and perseverance. We pray in your sovereign name. Amen. Isn't that great?
I just wish they would have put what his name was on there. But
I just
believe
think
it
that's
me,
so
it
strong.
Bit, but it is.
So, you know, anybody who is worried does still need to be praying for him, and that's pretty strong. Infuse them with a passion to act in ways pleasing to you, Lord.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It's great.
So it doesn't really matter which side of anything you fall on. That would be something that you would want to pray.
That's right.
And it's very hard to demonize someone that you're praying for.
That's right.
That's how I got through the Bush years without any hatred. I love Bush, as weird as that is to people. But you're praying for someone every day, you're not going to hate them.
That's right.
Yeah. And like I said before, the one thing I can say about George Bush was, whether you liked him or not, whether you agreed with what he did or not, he was the same man and stood for the same things when he went into office as he did when he went out. And you can't say that about a lot of our political leaders. So, you know, I have to give him that. But there again, you know, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on things, where they want to demonize one party over another. And like I said, I got those emails before that. If you're a Christian, you have to vote for this person or that party and everything. But we're going to cover this stuff about the birthers. I want to hear what you have to say about that. And we're going to discuss that a little bit. I want to hear what, you know, some more things about some of the thoughts that you have on the new medical program that's being solicited and everything. And I do have one suggestion for all the people that agree and you think that your churches should be putting this out to make sure that everybody's aware of what's going on. If you really feel that way, call Washington and see if they can send someone to come to your church when it's not a church service to speak, to give you the facts of what they're trying to do, what they're facing. Then, because they're going to tell you right off the bat, there's a lot of things they're not sure of either. Regarding the economy, regarding the medical changes in the medical program, and a lot of things that scare all of us right now, if you'll make that call, and then I can respect what you're doing. If you're going to say, okay, I think as a church, that the membership, that we're going to have a special meeting up here. We've invited your senator or congressman to come down, and we're going to see what they have to say about what their agenda is, and then go from there. If you disagree with it, fine. But before nothing else, pray for that person. Pray for our leaders. And that way I can respect what you're doing. But when you just want to go out there and project fear, I mean, this is a message of fear. There's people that's hurting. People are always hurting. And like the previous caller said, a lot of us do their own ignorance. But whether it's ignorance or not, somebody has to step up to the plate and say, okay, it's time to make a difference. And if churches would do that, okay, you know, we don't agree with this here, but we're willing to do this. We're willing to do that. When I hear people get up and say, what can I do? How can I volunteer? You know, I'm not aware of some of the things in my area that needs to be done. You know, can you point me in the right direction? Because there's people losing their homes that all it would take is someone to sit there and help them man a phone and call their bank and ask if there's any way that their financial situation or their bank loan could be refinanced or this new restructure program that they're doing. There's people that can't read that would just like to have someone come and read some of the stuff that's going on to them. There's people that don't even understand that there's a welfare program to help them that really need to have help from the welfare program. And we're all aware of the people who know the welfare program and have figured out all the little loopholes in it to figure out how much money they can make a year to stay on it and everything like that. and that they know that if they work $1 more, they're going to lose their benefits and things, and so they'll work part of a year and quit. We all know those stories. But none of it changes the fact that these are all God's creatures. The good, the bad, the ugly. We, like Mom said, the thing with the boat, we're all in the same boat. So let's don't shoot no holes in it, because we all got to live together. But I think this selfishness has got into government, it's got into corporate, it's got into our personal lives. It's one of those things that we need to really look down and take a look at, because the one thing that Jesus told them was, you'll know my people because they have love one for another. And as Joy said, if you're sitting there practicing love towards someone, it's kind of hard to tear them apart and want to throw them out, like if they throw the baby out with the bathwater or something like that. You're not going to do that for someone that you're praying for. You're not going to do that for someone that you love. And people say, well, I ain't going to love Obama. You know, I ain't going to agree with what he's got to say. Well,
I will.
That's between you and your God. Me and Joy's kind of a little bit different here. She laughs at me and everything because I'm probably very, very devout with a lot of things as far as my feelings of consecration with things of God. But yet, when it comes to politics, a lot of things, I'm very middle of the road. And a lot of that has to do with being 50 years old and having lived, seeing some of the things that cycle, hearing some of the things that said over and over, and really take a note to see who is doing not what someone's saying, but look at what they're doing. And, you know, when you've been 50, you know, been around for 50 years, you get to noticing some patterns there, and you're like, huh, you know, what really makes this party any different from that one on this topic here? Just to kind of fire everybody up for next week, do a little research. Look up Planned Parenthood, blog it, Google it, whatever. Look what political party was in power and had set aside money to start Planned Parenthood. I think you're going to be kind of surprised to know that it was the Republican Party that actually started Planned Parenthood. So look that up before you get to talking about all this stuff about the Democrats wanting to make abortion be so much more than what it is right now. And one other thing on that topic, you know, they always say elect the party that you want to pick who your Supreme Court justices are going to be based on what they stand for and what they believe. And everybody has this whole image of Barack Obama. As you know, they just voted in, and I'm awful with names. Do you remember her name, Joy?
Sotomayor?
Yes. She was voted in, been confirmed. This woman was brought up Catholic. Catholic is very much against abortion of any kind. They're also against Planned Parenthood of any kind. You know, they think that it's supposed to be a natural thing. I'm not condoning anything for the Catholic Church. I'm just telling you that this is the person that was his first person to put to the Supreme Court. So kind of look up her history. The question was never asked of her during the whole confirmation process as to where she stood on that. And I think the reason being is the Democrats wanted to just make that a non-issue among their constituents, and they knew where she stood on it.
Right.
But that's just the way I feel about it, because every other Supreme Court justice in history has all been asked, what do you think about Roe versus Wade? And for some reason or another, that was left out. And I think because they knew her answer, and they looked at it, they wanted to put a woman there, they wanted to put the first Hispanic there. They're wanting to make change.
And the Republicans knew where she stood on it, too, and so that's why they just tried to make a huge deal out of the fact that she had said she would be compassionate and she would bring, no, empathy, that was the big word. We don't need empathy among a judge. It's amazing the things that they'll just get so fired up about.
And also for those that's going to call in on the issue of the birther thing, which I thought was totally interesting, look up the information and find out where John McCain was born, the person that was running against Barack Obama.
But you are an American citizen if your parents are an American citizen and you're born abroad. Listen, we've got 5 minutes left, and Willard is wanting to say something else. You want to give him a couple minutes?
Yeah, please. I want to get him back on also to bring us more information about his work, too. So.
Okay, Willard.
Well,
First, I want you to know I'm not a Republican. I don't vote. I could care less who's in the White House. Okay, it goes downhill. Seems like no matter who's up there. Joey, I know that you've got a kind of a thing against me here because you think I'm against Obama. But
no, I just where you're getting your information.
Let me see. Well, first of all, he voted against the Born Alive Amendment twice. That's a horrible practice. It's partial birth abortion. And these kids up there in Illinois, they were 6 months old. I heard a 6 months old before they were born. And I heard a nurse talking about it on the radio. And they take these kids, and they had, all she wanted to do was just wrap them in a blanket and hold them till they died. And they wouldn't even let her do that. He voted against the comfort for the Born Alive Amendment twice. He's on record with the United Nations. It's right there on the United Nations website. He wants it raised to 8,000 in this country. And, you know, it's just where we're going. And I'm no more against Obama than I was George Bush. Okay? It's just all this politics, and it's just insane because it's one sets up a program for the next administration to usher in. And I don't know why people get involved in this stuff. Just like the prayer you read. Yes, it's a beautiful prayer. The name Jesus was not mentioned one time. Not once. Say the name.
Well,
people
maybe
that just
someone
say,
is a Jew, but they could still pray that prayer. This is the other thing that is very, very frustrating to me, how you can hear a prayer like that and find something because it doesn't exactly line up with your ideology. You can't see the beauty in it. You can't see the value of it bringing people together, but in such a powerful, powerful way, because you're going to say, no, it's not exactly, I'm going to find a way to fight about it.
If it doesn't have the name Jesus in it, I want no part of it. It's just that simple.
Yeah,
I would never
pray in your sovereign name. Amen.
Yeah, I brought that up, but I think the point Joy was trying to make is that they were saying, you know, she was using that for an example of what we can all can do. And it's one of those things that we do seem to have this mentality of wanting to tear down anybody in authority in this country anymore. We don't have any respect for position. And a lot of it has to do with what they've done. And I appreciate the thing that you're talking about on this as to, because, you know, I was the one who brought it up. So you have to kind of get aggravated at me at that.
I'm not aggravated with anybody for bringing it up. He just brought it up again from his viewpoint, so it's got nothing. He didn't bring it up because you brought it up, did you, Willard?
No,
I just wanted to make the point that we got a man here that wants to kill unborn human beings. And
he does
he
not want to kill unborn human beings.
Well, I'll say one thing on that. Willard, what you said on that, I heard that same thing you said about he voted against his wife. For the record, he didn't vote at all.
Same thing.
Ding, 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 ding.
Same thing.
He wasn't present for either one of those votes.
I need
so
to
same thing.
So they were talking about that today, you know, that he was being accused of that, and he wasn't even there. He was dealing with something on something to do with the war. I'm not sure what it was, but he was totally out of pocket when that came up. But he was there when... And I wish I could remember which group it was that stood up, and they did the whole thing where they described before the House and the Congress in detail what a partial birth abortion was. And he was one of the people that stood up and applauded when they were saying that something needed to be done to make a change on that. And like you say, it doesn't matter which administration is in office. There's a plan underneath the plan, and some of this stuff, I hate to say this, but I don't believe in conspiracy, but it's not going to change no matter who's in power. It don't matter if it's Republicans or Democrats. We had 8 years of George Bush, the first part of his time in office. The Republicans had the House and the Senate. Didn't anything change? It is exactly the same as it is right now. So it really aggravates me for one person to say one party is better than the other on the issue. And
it got a lot worse under Bush. Oh, what a president. But
he did do the thing where he made it to where nonprofits like yours, which you're working with, if it's set up as a religious foundation, that you can actually, people can donate to that and it's tax exempt. And we do want to get you back on again to talk about that because I want to see if we can get enough listeners to set up to where we may, this blog talk show, can contribute to actually adopt one person there to kind of, I say adopt, but you know what I mean, to kind of take
support.
Responsibility to try to help financially you know, for one of the children that's there. And as we're getting more listeners and everything, I do want us to look at doing that later. And, you know, even a little bit helps. It don't have to be a lot. So I do want us to look at doing that because that is what we're called to do.
Exactly.
Well, that would be most appreciated. But,
the thing with Joy you have to understand is she is not upset at you. She's just very, she'll tell you, she's very pro-Obama. She believes that he is going to be the president of change, just like you said, and that we do need to try to unify the two sides together. She is believing that those things are going to happen. So she's not mad at you for voicing your opinion, because that's what this show is all about. But when people throw things out there, because there's websites with all this, some of the same things you were saying, I've read it. I know where you're coming from.
And you happened to hit on something that specifically, the fact that, okay, because at the end of the prayer, I didn't say in Jesus' name. I said, we pray in your sovereign name. You're going to grab that. And that seems like the thing that is frustrating to me, that people are determined for there to be no common ground, when in actuality there is a lot of common ground. We could really bind together on the things that we do believe, that we all do care about, that we all do want. But we get off on these, and it seems specifically like people can just find some one little thing, and that's what all those words. And you could have said Jesus' name at the end of it if you were praying along with me. And I don't think in your sovereign name. I don't think there's anything wrong with we pray in your sovereign name. And the fact that they did want to, it was a Christian minister who prayed the prayer. But if he did leave it open ended in case there was somebody Jewish, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So that you're not just them there saying, but you said in Jesus' name, so we can't pray these amazing words.
Yeah, he left it open no matter what your religious faith was in this country, which at one time we used to be what we called a Christian nation, and really we're not anymore. We've got so many denominations and everything that they claim to be Christian, but I'm, like you were talking about, there's so many issues, so many things that can be done that we're all missing the mark on. And again, I want to come back to
I think part of the reason that we are is because we find all these little ways to argue with each other. Like,
well, he should have the name Jesus in a prayer, but we're almost out of time here. I want to say one thing. If what I heard on the radio is true, the first presidential directive Obama issued was to start back to using our tax dollars for abortions overseas, especially in Africa. And that just can't be in the will of God. It just can't be. And I don't understand this rush to just kill unborn human beings.
Yeah.